for today. Thank you, Father God, for awakening our bodies up, Lord God, to come before you. We just lift up this time, Father God, consecrate this time before you, that the Holy Spirit will come and speak to us, encourage us this morning. And I just also humble myself before you as I share your word, your message today, that it will be encouragement to the body of Christ. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, so this morning I'll be sharing from two books, a few passages from two books. The first passage is Hebrews 11:6. So if we can just turn to that and I'll read it out. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. And then Psalm 119:30 to 37. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I set your rules before me. I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. Let me not be put to shame. I will run in the way of your commandments when you enlarge my heart. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Give me understanding, that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to selfish gain. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways. Amen. So last week I was sharing from 2 Corinthians 10:12, where Paul says that it's not wise for us to compare with each other in order to base our value on. So I'll just quickly read that. Not that we dare to classify or compare ourselves with some of those who are commending themselves, but when they measure themselves by one another and compare themselves with one another, they are without understanding. So it doesn't really matter how we measure up against other people or how other people see us. And it's not about how we see ourselves either, but what matters is what the Lord thinks of us. Paul says then in verse 18 in 2 Corinthians 10, for it is not the one who commends himself who is approved, but the one whom the Lord commends. So I guess today is kind of like part two of my sharing. So how do we get the Lord to commend us, as it says here in verse 18? So in the famous verse of Hebrews 11:6, it plainly says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. So obviously, if our thoughts and actions are to please God, then it requires faith in him. But what does this nebulous concept of faith means? In Hebrews 11:1 to 2, it says, now faith is the assurance, or in the NASB version, the certainty of things hoped for, and the conviction or proof of things that are not seen. For by it, the people of old received their commendation. So faith is needed in the context of things that are hoped for, i.e. there are things that haven't happened yet. But through faith, the things hoped for now becomes a certainty, or one is assured that it will happen. Through faith, the thing is unseen, the thing that is unseen becomes a conviction, and it becomes proof. So it is as if the thing has already happened. More importantly, in verse 2 it says, for it is by faith that people of the old gained approval. So that's consistent with what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10. So that's how they're approved. Then the Lord goes on to list examples of how the various saints in the Old Testament acted in faith. Just to give you an example, the author in Hebrews used Noah, who built the ark, we all know. So by believing in what the Lord told him, that there will be a worldwide flood, even though it has never rained before. So even though like everyone around him is telling him that how can there be a great flood when we haven't even had a single drop of rain, and you're building this huge ark, this huge boat, that it will basically become useless if it doesn't rain. But he acted based on that belief, based on that trust in God's word. So just referring to that verse here, by faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. So faith is not a bare belief or an intellectual understanding. It's a willingness to trust in, to rely on, and to cling on to God. And it is this trust, this reliance, a total reliance on Him that the Lord so values and commends. So now that we know that, you know, in order to please God, in order to obtain His approval, it requires faith. So let's now turn to the passages in Psalm 119 to see what this faith entails. So just to give a quick background on Psalm 119, it has 176 verses, and it's the longest chapter in the Bible. Well, scholars believe that this psalm was likely written over a period of time and then later compiled afterwards. So this psalm is actually written in sections, and they're not verses that are like a chain. So where one link is connected to the other, but kind of like a string of pearls, where like each pearl has an equal but an independent value. So you can take out a verse, and it could be interpreted with or without the verses before and after. Interestingly, this psalm is also arranged in an acrostic pattern. So there are 22 units and that are 8 verses each, and each of the 22 sections is given a letter of the Hebrew alphabet, the Hebrew alphabet has 22 alphabets in total. So you have 22 sections with one entitled with each Hebrew alphabet. And the theme of this Psalm 119 is that it glorifies God and His word. It refers to scripture over and over again. So it tells the reader, the psalmist is basically emphasizing to the reader how important God's word is. Let's go on to verse 30. And what does this verse say about faith? Is that we need to choose it voluntarily. Psalm 119:30. So I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I set your rules before me. So first we need faith to please God. And so how do we act in a faithful way? Is that we need to voluntarily choose it. And Jesus doesn't like to coerce or force us to do anything. In fact, I don't think He values actions that are forced out of us. I think it is much more precious to Him when we do it out of our own volition. I think for the parents in here, you might understand this better in the context of your children. Like, for example, when you ask your children to clean up their room or do their homework or eat their vegetables, whatever that may be, and they do it willingly, agreeing with you that, yeah, I'll do it willingly because I know it's good for me and I know that you want the best for me. Well, isn't that attitude so much more pleasurable than if you had to force that action out from threats, timeouts, and taking away privileges? Well, at least that's the case for me. So when I buy all the pleasurable stuff, the things that my kids enjoy, like, you know, sweets, toys, you know, extra TV time, you know, like, my heart is that I actually want them to enjoy it. And I get no pleasure out of withholding that from them. But I think it's a similar situation with God, and I would imagine that it would be even more displeasurable for Him to withhold such blessings from us, especially when these things that we're talking about is not just a candy bar or a toy or TV time. It's actually all the good things in life, like joy, peace, unity, love, all these wonderful things that that He wants to give to us. Okay, so the first thing with faith is that we need to choose it. And once we've chosen it willingly, then we need to set God's rules before us. As it says in verse 30, I set your rules before me. We need to value His commandments and teachings, and we need to place that above what our flesh wants to do. Then the psalmist goes on to say in verses 31 to 32, I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. Let me not be put to shame. I will run in the way of your commandments when you enlarge my heart. So he says here that he will cling on to the testimonies of God. And as I was looking into this, this word actually relates to the word for witness. So basically the testimonies of God refers to the covenant that the Lord has made with Israel. So basically the psalmist is clinging on to his promises. Cling is actually a pretty strong word, wouldn't you think? And indicates holding on for dear life. There's a sense that, you know, the psalmist is desperate to hold on to God's promise. And the psalmist says that when we do that, he will not put us to shame. We will not put to shame. And then verse 32 is quite interesting. And the psalm says that he will run in the way of God's commands, so basically obeying the Lord's commands, but not out of his own willpower or by his own strength. Because we know that this is pretty much impossible. He says he will do so when God enlarges his heart, or in the NIV version, when God has broadened his understanding. So here God needs to do something first, change something in us, before we can obey his commands. And he's the one who enables us to do it. Then moving on to the next verse. Actually, the next verse is entitled by the Hebrew alphabet, He. And that's the next eight verses in this section. And it's the theme of these eight verses is actually a plea for a guidance and life. So apparently, he is the fifth letter of the Hebrew alphabet and is used at the beginning of verbs to make them causative. So the prayers in these next few verses are stated, cause me to learn, cause me to understand, and cause me to walk, etc. So let me read from this. So he, verse 33, teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to selfish gain. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways. Actually, when I was reading these verses, it gave me great comfort, because what the psalmist needs to do here, to have this life that is faithful, it sounds really hard, and it's a high calling. For example, he wants to keep God's statutes till the end. And in verse 34, he wants to keep God's law and observe it with his whole heart. In verse 35, he wants to delight in God's commandments. I mean, it's easy to delight in entertainment, Netflix, TV, whatever, but God's commands, how on earth are we supposed to do that? Verse 37, to not look at worthless things. Maybe what he means here is comparing ourselves with others, looking to the left or the right. Oh, does my colleague have a bigger bonus? Do that person have this job? What about enviable relationships? Honestly, I just kind of feel discouraged looking at this list of, impossible do's. But this is what encouraged me, that each of these verses is prefaced by asking God for help. So in verse 33, it says, in order for the psalmist to keep God's statutes to the end, he says, teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes. And in verse 34, it says, give me understanding so that I may keep your law. Verse 35, lead me in the path of your commandments. Verse 36, incline my heart to your testimonies. And in verse 37, turn my eyes from looking at worthless things. So he knows what he's supposed to do, but he also knows that he can't do it by himself. And every time he wants to do this faithful act, he asks God for help. So this shows me that, yeah, we can totally come to God and ask him for help, even though it may sound really simple, keeping God's law. Sometimes keeping God's law is easy, sometimes not so much. But we can totally ask God to enable us. So from these verses personally, I think the next component of faith after choosing the path of faithfulness is to humble ourselves and recognizing that actually we can't do it and we need to ask God for help. And it's okay, because he would love to. Why? Because it is pleasing to him when we act in faith. So as Charles Spurgeon says, the chief end of man is to please God. So just to quickly summarize from 2 Corinthians 10 and the verses we have looked at here, that firstly, Paul told us not to compare with others, because what matters is not what other people think. It doesn't even really matter what we think of ourselves, but whether the Lord approves and thus commends us. And so how do we obtain God's approval and commendation? Is by being faithful to him. And regarding faithfulness, so how do we do this? We need to, have that attitude that we want to, that we voluntarily choose it. And then we need to humble ourselves and recognize that actually to walk on this path of faithfulness, we can't do it by our own willpower or mere strength. And in recognizing this, we can ask God for help. And why should we choose the path of faithfulness? So that we may have life in God's way, that our sole purpose of our life is to please God, and in doing so, we may have life in Him. So just applying this to myself personally, as I shared last week, it's really easy for me to look to the left, right, and not stay on course, especially when things get tough. And it's really hard sometimes for me to focus on the thing that God has asked me to do and to be okay with it, even though when, you know, it gets challenging. And also when we're immersed in this culture of comparison, you know, when your wage may be determined based on comparison, like maybe how well you did last year, how well you did compared to your colleague, or whether your kid gets into a certain school, again, it's based on comparison with other applicants, whether you get a certain job. So how do we not compare in this culture? I guess the answer is quite plain, that we can ask God to turn our eyes from looking at worthless things and give us life in your ways. I think what needs to be highlighted here is give me life, not in my ways, but in God's ways, in your ways. As we go into a time of worship, this morning, let's just come before God and just kind of be honest with Him. Are you ready to choose the way of faithfulness? Do you want to? Or do you feel like, oh, it's too hard, I don't really want to, I still kind of want to control over my life? And if you feel that you can't, maybe you can just be honest with Him and ask Him for help. And for those who have no problems with saying yes to that, do you need to humble yourself before God to do that faithful act? Maybe God is calling you to do something, but it's too hard. You know, like your flesh is weak. Ask God for help, as the psalmist did, just being really humble before Him. And then, is there something that, you know, is there a particular thing that He wants you to do that is, you know, too hard, too challenging, too spiritual, whatever? Is it to help you not to compare? Is it to help you love His word? Is it to ask Him for a greater understanding? Whatever that may be, you can, don't be shy and be bold in asking.
You lift me up.
Reminding us that, yeah, our hope is in you and we need to cling on to you. I mean, I think our default mode is to spring into action, relying on our strength, trying to follow your commands by our own willpower and try to solve it by ourselves. But yeah, like as this worship song reminds us that, you know, we need to abide in you and that only you can enable us. And only when we do things that you enable us to do, only then you're pleased. Even if we do the same thing and we rely on our own strength, actually you're not that pleased with it, because without faith it's impossible to please you. So Father, just thank you for that reminder. May this give us great comfort that we don't have to strive, and that with your power and by relying on you that we can, yeah, that we can do this, and we can have joy in doing so. Thank you, Lord God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's turn to our community prayer for this morning. Let's lift up those who are going through cancer, chemo, radiation therapy, and surgery. Let's pray for healing. Let's ask God to sustain them and ask His angels to minister to them. Let's lift up those who are sick but also needs the word of salvation, for the Lord to have mercy, for their hearts to open up to receive the seed of the gospel, and for that seed to grow into a big strong tree. Let's lift up those who are suffering from various infirmities for the Lord to heal them completely and for the Lord to sustain them in this time of long suffering. Let's lift up those who are looking for jobs, for the Lord to open doors to that these people will have find favor, and whilst in the time of waiting, that they will also not grow impatient, and for ask God to help them use their time wisely. Let's go to our mission focus for today. Let's lift up P-Sam Kim, who's heading SPSG in Singapore, P. Salamat, who's heading SPIN in our Indonesian ministry, and P. Ernie, who is heading SPIL, which is our Philippines ministry. Let's cover them. Let's ask God for anointing over them. Let's lift up our education ministries. So Lisa, who is heading SP Kids, Donald, SP Youth, and P. Andrew, SPU. Let's pray for our prayer and healing ministries. Matt, who leads IP, Sarah, who leads the well, and Rachel, who leads the river. Let's pray that they will not grow weary in their respective ministries, to have joy in their ministries, and for these ministries for God to use these ministries greatly to touch whoever comes to them and to encounter God's love. Let's lift up tonight's evening outreaches to SP Lights and Homies Outreach. Just pray against any spiritual attacks. Let's pray for those who our volunteers will be ministering to, will have an open heart to Jesus, and also that, that there is another way of doing life, which is life in Christ. So let's lift them up. Let's cover over our pregnant ladies here at church, Jay, Kathleen, Cecilia, Amanda, Angela, and many others who you may know, maybe from your house church or whatnot. Let's cover them, protection over them, for mother and baby to be healthy, for the delivery to be smooth. Finally, let's lift up all the house churches that are meeting tonight. And these are Cullinan, West, East Bay, Olympic, and Robin Hood. Let's pray for good fellowship, for the Holy Spirit to come into their meetings, for them to have good bonds with each other, and that to really meet Jesus in the midst of them. Heavenly Father God, Lord, just, we lift up all these prayers, we seal these prayers in the name of Jesus, and we thank you for this morning. We continue to pray that Holy Spirit will remind us to choose faithfulness today, and in whatever we do, that we do it in faith so that it may be pleasing to you. Thank you, Lord God. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Have a good prayer time, everyone.